In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. The beginning of Holy Week, which is today with Palm Sunday, is this most sacred time of the entire liturgical year, as we all know. It is most important for us to realize, as we, a liturgical people, and everyone knows what those words mean, that the way that we pray is showing us the way that we believe. And it is the fulfillment of the law of incarnation, that as God bridged the gap between himself and his creature by becoming man, he has given us the way back to him. So through external things that have been blessed, given to us by Christ himself, those are the sacraments, and then through the church, sacramentals, we have a vehicle, a pathway back to heaven. The importance of this, you know all these things. This is all we have to do here is remind each of us of the importance of the facts about our faith so that we can participate. And in this Mass, this is emphasized because at one point during the Mass, just the last time the priest looks at us during the Holy Sacrifice, he always invites us to pray, "Pray, brethren." We've talked about this already. But today, to emphasize the union between all the faithful with the priest, with the high priest, he will say the entire prayer out loud. Orate fratres, may your sacrifice and mine be acceptable to God the Almighty Father. And as you know, how is it that you are part of the sacrifice? Because you have been baptized. You have the character of baptism. You are part of the priesthood of Christ. St. Peter tells us that in the epistle. You are a royal nation, a priestly people. And to counter the modernists who leave it there, then as a priest turns back, the response of the community through the servers is yes. May the sacrifice at your hands. So the priest says, we are a royal people, a priestly nation. And then the people say, that's right, we know that. But you have the character of the priesthood. It is your hands that will offer it to sacrifice. Your lips will speak in the person of Christ. So it will be Christ's body when you say, this is my body. We know all that. And yesterday, the day before this ceremony, the Mass tells us in the collect that we are to be sanctified and given the great gifts of God, theological virtues, virtues and gifts of the Holy Ghost, by the things we learn from the sacred liturgy, the sacred mysteries. That was the prayer of the collect yesterday in preparation for today. And our Lord, as the great high priest, as the great master of ceremonies, from all eternity, knowing every single detail and planning out his personal liturgies. So for this day, our Lord planned it all out. He left nothing to chance. And so he told the servers as the master of ceremonies, as the high priest, his disciples, his apostles, go into the town, that little village there, and you will find a donkey and her colt. And you bring them to me. And this is what you say, and this is they will let you take them. And he had them brought, and he had himself put on them, and he had the disciples as had been done in the past in the Old Testament at different times, the people would take their own cloaks and put them out on the road so that somebody coming in triumph would be walking not on the ground, but on the cloaks of the people. And other people who could not do that started taking the branches, the palm trees, and laying them down. And our Lord, who had spent the day yesterday in Bethany with the people he loved, St. Martha, St. Mary Magdalene, and St. Lazarus, who he had raised from the dead, and that gospel will be told tomorrow. And he comes up, the city of Jerusalem, the holy city, God's city, is on a hill, and then there's a very great ditch, a valley. I cannot describe all this, which we saw recently in a documentary. It's a very deep ditch, the Kedron Valley. And on the east of that is this Mount of Olives, which our Lord will visit again in Gethsemane. And just over that summit of the Mount of Olives is Bethany. So our Lord left their little house on this today and went up the eastern slope. Just before he got to the top, he told the disciples, "Go and get the colt that I will ride." See the details there. It's okay. And then he came up and he rode this colt over the top of Mount Olivet and started coming down on the western slope. So now he could see the city. And the people are already cheering him. Because up until now, our Lord has, and all of his miracles and all of his preaching, whenever the people got, there was some kind of a enthusiasm among the people, he would always calm them down. No, just go and tell the priest that you've been cured. That's what the old law told them. But don't say it to anyone else. Now, people still would spread these things, but he was very explicit about this because he was keeping his messianic secret. That is, he was not declaring himself as the King of Israel. Even though they wanted to acclaim him that at several times, he was not going to do that yet. He saved it for today. It was not going to be right that he came into this world and never made it official. Even they asked, "Why do you keep us in secret? Tell us, are you the Christ?" Well, today he told them. And so as he came over the slope and he now could see the city, it says he stopped. And he wept in front of the people. During this great moment of glory, he wept. And it says he wept, the scripture scholars say he wept. He burst out in tears. He did not cry the way he cried at Lazarus's death, where he cried silently. Here he just burst out because at the sight of the city, his city, he saw what was going to happen because they were going to kill him. And he prophesies what's going to happen to that city. And then he comes down, crosses the valley, comes into his city now with all these people. How many? There were approximately 1 million people in the city. That was not the normal population, but they came for the high holy days. And so they, about 1 million people, and we don't know how many people were with our Lord, but many of them had come because they knew he had been in Bethany. They had come to see Lazarus and all of these things. And many of them were Galileans from up in his part of the country. And so they were so proud. They who were always the outsiders to the people in Jerusalem, the learned, the elite, the rich, the powerful. These were just the country bumpkins. We'll hear it later. That's an attack on St. Peter, and he denied our Lord. They said, "We know you're one of his. You even have the same accent that he has." So these people were all excited. Yes, he's come. He's declared himself. This is it. And they come into the city, and then our Lord goes, they take him right up into the temple. And there he comes into the temple, looks around and says he inspected the temple, threw out the people who were buying and selling in there, and then he left at the end of the day. It was a long day, tiring day. The church, even in the catacombs, was copying and imitating our Lord on this day. So as soon as they came out of the catacombs, the church was already flourishing. And this ceremony was seen right in the 4th century. The bishop would take the place of our Lord. They would put him on the little colt and have him ride into the city and duplicate everything our Lord did. Eventually, that's in Jerusalem, but it eventually made its way to Rome. And they imitated our Lord the same way that he did it. And they had two separate ceremonies. And Rome imitated and in their practical way, the Roman way, put it all together. And we are Romans. And that's what we're doing today. Now, the ceremony is going to have the blessing of the palms right here, and then the procession, and then the Mass. And it's exactly like it was in the old days, but condensed, practically put together. Because we cannot go from Mount Olivet up to the temple and all those things. But in Rome, what they would do is they would meet first for the blessing of the palms at the Church of the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. Mary Major. And that would be where they would do the blessing of the palms, and everyone would be given the blessed palms. And then they would process from there to the stational church, St. John Lateran. We cannot do that, but they try, say if you can, have the blessing outside. It's always precarious with the weather, so we have just right here. But then we process from the Blessed Mother's church, and we're going to go around the chapel, as you know. And we're all singing. We're all imitating all those people with our palms. We're praising the King, our King. And then our Lord, in the person of the priest, comes back. And now he comes in to his temple and St. John Lateran, the stational church, where he is going to have the Mass. And now all the glory is going to change. That sign of the resurrection is going to end Holy Week. And then further on, Ascension Day. All of that which is seen here as we are all walking with our Lord into the holy city, into heaven. That's what it's all being prefigured for us. We're part of it. And then we come back in, and then all of the glory, all of the red, the royal colors are all taken away. And now we're going to go into deepest sorrow, because now we are reminded at the beginning of Holy Week that, no, there's a price. There's a price. And that price is going to be the death of God. And so then we have the Passion dominating the Mass in Psalm 21. As we first start, the first words of the liturgy, by the way, are the Hosanna, the Hebrew word meaning save us, save now, our Lord. Save us now. But then it is turned into a form of acclamation. You are saving us. You are victorious. You are the King. See how it's happening. And that's what the chant is. So the first words before the priest even blesses the palms is Hosanna. And then the antiphons, while the palms are being distributed, you're saying it. Pueri Hebraeorum, children of the Hebrews, praise God. And then that Hosanna, which we say all the time at every Mass during the Sanctus, becomes the invitation for not just us on earth, but the angels in heaven to join us in exclaiming the greatness of God. And that's the Sanctus. Hosanna in excelsis. We should fight during these days to be as close to our Lord as possible. The world is mitigating all of that fervor. It is fighting against us. It is going to try and keep you away from the sacred mysteries, which are designed to teach so we can have the higher gifts. The world will try and keep you away from Holy Thursday, from Good Friday, from the Easter Vigil. Do not succumb to that. Now, Holy Mother of the Church, make sure that even if people cannot come to Good Friday, you're still going to hear the Passion, because today you're going to hear it. Even if you cannot come to things, you're going to be here for all of Holy Week in this Mass. Now, let's say one thing here about the sacramental of the palms. We alluded to this earlier. And there are many things that sacramentals do. They are supernatural gifts given to us by Christ through the Church that are meant to give us grace. They're dependent on several things, but for us right here, they depend on our own participation. So when you receive the palm, receive with as much devotion as you can have. I won't give you all of the benefits. There's a list right in the catechism about increasing grace, removing temporal punishment. The one I want to stress here is that they are a great help against the devil. So that the palms are not things that we just use today, which right here is what they're for. But we take them home with us. We use them throughout the year. We use them when we say our night prayers. That sacramental gives us the victory. So no matter what has happened during the day, we are saying, God, we are sorry. Give us the strength through this sacramental. Give us the strength through your purification candle to go on to get to heaven. That's what we should all be doing. Now, we want to change slightly before we begin all these great things. So I'm skipping. I have to. All of the beautiful texts of the Mass that are telling us we are here, the last week of Lent, we are here to attack the devil, to attack sin, to remove, eradicate all vices in us. And the sacramental is going to help us do that. We want to say one thing again to the young people. And I think of the first words we're hearing. We're singing, Pueri, the children of the Hebrews. You are the ones who are going to be carrying the palms. You are the ones who are going to be leading the people after your parents are gone and grandparents are gone and the priests are gone, the old priests are gone. You are going to have to stand up. Now, our Lord, of course, knew everything. I told you how he was the master of ceremonies for today. We'll see what he does on Holy Thursday as he planned it out perfectly. And then he's telling them what to do. Go to this house and tell him the master will keep his Passover here. And then he tells him all the things to do, all the preparation. You know the story. That is the detail of the great liturgist, our Lord himself. So that's to come. But he alone knows everything is going to be taking place. Others have inklings about it. The apostles, for example, why are you going back to Jerusalem? They want to kill you there. Because he was coming back for Lazarus. And then St. Thomas, when he sees our Lord's resolute to come back, and on the way he says to them, third time, the Son of Man must die in Jerusalem. He's telling them that as they come back. And St. Thomas says, let us go with him to die with him. Remember St. Thomas, because we think of him as the doubting Thomas, but he was the one that said that. So they knew there were some forebodings, but they didn't know all the details. And the older people, the parents, everything, they have gone through many things. They don't know the future. But the young people don't have all that experience. You only have the principles. Those are the things you must hold on to with your life. St. Teresa, we always think of St. Teresa of Avila, whose relic is in the sacristy, looking out on all of us, saying, "I would give my life for one rubric of the Mass." Would any of us do that? I think we would. So you are the future. You are the ones that must carry the palm into the future. You must be the ones that hold on. Do not abandon our Lord, no matter what. And we say that because the older ones of the young people, and maybe more than that, may remember just 3 years ago, no one was here for this ceremony. The forces of darkness had locked you out. So we do have some experience. And we ourselves have seen the live stream. We have seen your parents sending us photos and things of you watching ceremonies at home. But you remember. Do you remember? Does anyone remember you couldn't come to church on Palm Sunday? We don't know what tomorrow brings. But there are forebodings that not secular authorities, but church authorities want to stop you coming here. That is not of God. Will you stand with our Lord in the future, no matter what happens? No matter what they try to do to separate you from Him? That is the question for today. Are we fair weather friends of our Lord, as so many of the people were today? Because in a mere few days, they're calling for His execution. Do not be like them. Be faithful, and God will bless you and bless all of us through the children of the Hebrews. May God bless you.